The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, right here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You may have noticed on some Catholic news feeds that World Youth Day is happening right now. And the people who are there, who are brave enough to camp out and in vigil throughout the night, are doing so in the heat of Lisbon, Portugal. I looked at the weather and it's going to be about 100 degrees there tomorrow. So pray for them. We'll be outside in the elements all day and have to walk back to wherever their bus is. But also, we want to pray for them, especially all the young people that are there, the many thousands of young people who are encountering Jesus in this powerful way, hopefully, we pray. I've watched many of the videos that have been put out on the World Youth Day social media and EWTN, and they've been showing these beautiful clips and highlights of everything that's been happening this week. And it's been, it seems like, very grace-filled. So we pray for a great renewal and rebirth and rejuvenation of the church, especially within our young people, who are the future of the church. They're not just the future, as someone said, and this is important too, they're also the church now, and we need them. We need them. We need every person. You might also be consoled. Some young child asked the Pope, I saw this video, "Who are your superheroes?" This little girl asked the Pope. And the Pope responded, "Grandparents." Grandparents are the superheroes of the church. And he encouraged young people to be sure to turn to their grandparents because of the wisdom and many of the things that they've learned in their life. And so the Pope loves grandparents. That's good. There are these interesting videos also on YouTube that sometimes I'll come across where Christians are debating individuals who are clearly not Christian and often not believers in God. So they engage in this discussion and debate. And watching some of these videos, the non-Christian will almost always, or at least typically, attack the divinity of Jesus. They will say, "Jesus was just a man," or he's just a prophet, but not God. And then follow up with, "So why would you believe in the power of a man and not the God of the universe? Now, if you were asked these questions or challenged like this in your belief in Jesus, how would you respond? Attacking the divinity of Jesus is one of the oldest heresies in the church. In other words, it's basically just someone saying, Jesus is not God. He's just a man. And that makes sense. If you want to go against Catholicism and against the Christian religion, you should focus on Jesus. You should attack the person of Jesus. So how would we respond? What would be your defense? Now, there are many options, but however you decide to defend the faith, like the non-Christian, the answer should also focus on Jesus. You might use this great scripture of the Transfiguration for your answer. On the mountain, with Peter, James, and John as eyewitnesses, Jesus reveals his divinity. He reveals the truth of who he is, the beloved Son of God. The account of the Transfiguration is given to us in all three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They each have small differences in how they're written and given to us, but the purpose is the same in all three: to reveal the truth of Jesus, to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah, and also to increase faith, the increase of faith and hope of our own future glory, that we too will rise and be transfigured and live within the love and divinity of Jesus. As Jesus is transfigured, he invites us to participate in his glory, that glory that has been revealed. We do this by answering the call to listen to Jesus, to follow Jesus, to follow him all the way to the Heavenly Father. How will you respond? How will you love the Lord? What will be your defense? Is Jesus, in your life, is Jesus just a character in a story that you like to read about or hear about every now and then? Is Jesus just a man or a great prophet that does some amazing things, but then it's over? Is Jesus someone that you think about, that you turn to, that is the most important person in your life? Is Jesus important to you? Is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Our life with Jesus is a particularly important reason to defend, or for the defense of the divinity of Jesus. That I love and serve and proclaim Jesus is reason that he is real, that he is God, that he is Savior of the world. We say it every Sunday. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. We need to know, listen, follow, and proclaim this truth of Jesus Christ. On the mountain, God reveals the way and the reason we should follow Jesus, because we desire to live within the glory of God. We desire to live within the glory of God that he shows us on this mountain. He shows us our future our future home, our future glory. He shows us everything we need. In his book, Jesus of Nazareth, Pope Benedict taught about the Transfiguration. He said, "On the mountain, the three of them see the glory of God's kingdom shining out of Jesus. On the mountain, they are overshadowed by God's holy cloud. On the mountain, in the conversation of the transfigured Jesus with the law and the prophets, they realize that the true Feast of Tabernacles has come. On the mountain, they learn that Jesus himself is the living Torah, the complete Word of God. On the mountain, they see the power of the kingdom that is coming in Jesus Christ." Listen to Jesus in your prayers, in adoration, in the Holy Mass. The Lord is speaking. You must listen. And he speaks to our hearts more than our ears, showing us in his love the way to the Father. He inspires our thoughts and our feelings and our desire to do good and to love others. Know who Jesus is. Believe in this revealed truth of who Jesus is and listen to him. Because we are still affected and often tempted, the oldest and still most effective sin in the world, the most effective lie and false teaching, is thinking that we are God and don't really need Jesus. We have to dispel this lie. How must you respond? What is your defense? It's saying this to the world: Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only true Son of God. Jesus, we will listen. We will believe. Jesus, we trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.